Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time now to turn our attention to headlines out of China. And of course, it's a bit of a final farewell to its zero COVID policy, China lifting its border curbs on Sunday. I saw a lot of photographs in newspapers as well, right? But, you know, even though China's recovery will get a lift from global growth, economists are worried that the reopening will push up prices as demand for goods go up. Alongside economic woes, will the newly minted Chinese foreign minister be able to ease U.S.-China relations that have worsened over the last decade? Well, on the line with me this morning is Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Dr. O.
A very good morning to all of you.
Must have been quite exciting, huh? On Sunday, we see the shutters lifted and Chinese tourists are out or people going into China. How big of a relief do you feel that this is?
Well, for those of us in Southeast Asia, of course, you know, we have been suffering from economic slowdowns for the last few years. And, well, we look forward to hopefully, for example, some of these Chinese tourists coming to our shores. And then Chinese investors also hopefully they will come and explore business opportunities here. But it's indeed a very grandiose scene. You saw airports in Shanghai, in Beijing and so on, full of people here.
I guess, you know, with that comes the concern that some goods will see a price increase, you know, goods, services, or commodities. Which areas do you think will see the largest price increase?
Well, logically, you would see, for example, now that a lot of Chinese people are traveling, those prices as concerned with transportation costs and so on would go up. But of course, in China, over the last few years, for example, as all the rest of us are suffering from price hikes, I think the government did a decent job in controlling all these prices. So I don't think you would see really sharp spikes in various prices here.
Dr. Oh, I want to talk about a few quite interesting things that have happened overnight and over the weekend. First of all, Jack Ma ceding control. And what's interesting is we saw some companies that are linked with the Ant Group starting to gain on news that he's ceded control. At the same time, Dr. Oh, overnight we had reports that China is easing up on tech giants, you know, dialing back on those stringent three red lines that worsened the property meltdown. This according to the PBOC secretary. What are your thoughts on this, you know, as far as investors are concerned, when they see that, okay, the tech sector crackdown is easing up or it's over?
Well, the China market, it's of course humongous. So everybody, be domestic or foreign, would like to get a chunk out of it. Sometimes some of these tech giants, or at least their leaders, they may or may not be in the favor of the leader of the time. And of course, as in this case, when Jack Ma exited, as you said, I don't think there was a euphoria, but I think people sort of breathed a sigh of relief and they continue to try to explore the huge markets there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, state media is reporting that China is going to adopt a more normalized regulation, give support for private companies. As an investor, when you look at this, or even an observer, there is this narrative that while we are concerned now with the reopening and possible infection, we could have a very positive picture in the second half of the year coming out of China. Would you agree with this? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, of course, because over the last few years, you have very low basis to compare, right? So anything which adds on to that will be considered a huge increase. So yeah, I think we are foreseeing at least the growth rate would accelerate over the next few quarters. Yeah.
Dr. Oh, let's switch tracks to talk about the new foreign minister, who is Qin Gang, 56 years old, one of the youngest to make the cut. What are your thoughts on this foreign minister? How is he different from the previous ones?
Well, number one, he's very young, 56. Typically, you become foreign minister when you're almost hitting 60. So I think he is looking forward to a stretch of, let's say, 10 years, because the retirement age, I think, is also 65 or 66, right? So number two, of course, this is slightly more well-polished foreign minister. Not that his predecessor was not, just that I think he could speak a bit of English and so on. So hopefully he could present China to the world in a more refined manner, shall we say. But that remains to be seen. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, one of the areas that he's going to present that or where it'll be tested is when he is set to host his counterpart, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. I think Anthony Blinken will be making his first visit to China in the coming months. This is going to set the tone, not just for him, but China, U.S.-China relations moving forward. It's been quite tense lately.
Yeah, I think both sides are somewhat eager to move the relationship forward, whether they genuinely like it or not, because, well, they are the number one and number two superpowers as well as economic powerhouses of the world. And there needs to be some sort of more positive interactions between the two sides. So, yeah, I don't think Anthony Blinken, for example, is going to talk down to China again as he did about 2 years ago when he first became Secretary of State. And the China side, I think they are also quite eager to sort of reconcile. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, the world kind of needs that as well. Also quite interesting, I mean, ahead of that meeting, right, we've got the U.S. cutting its naval transits through the Taiwan Straits last year to its lowest level in 4 years. We also know that there's a bit of a step up in Chinese military presence there. Is this significant? Should we read too much into this?
Well, as you said, ahead of this Blinken-Chin meeting, You need to create a slightly more conducive diplomatic atmosphere, right? But I think U.S.-Taiwanese interactions are still quite significant with U.S. Congress, for example, which is driving the relationship with China, passing the laws about, you know, sending military aids to China, to Taiwan and so on. So, yeah, I think it's creating a conducive atmosphere. But again, let's see how it goes in the next few months.
Yeah, and just a final piece, and really this is just out of a bit of curiosity as well. I read in the news yesterday that the Japanese Prime Minister is making a few visits this coming week. In fact, Fumio Kishida starts a tour of key Western partners starting yesterday. We're looking at the United States, Britain, France, Italy, Canada, all set to take place this week. Ties between these two nations, China and Japan, in your observation, where are they at right now?
Well, I think as we saw in some novels, the best of times and the worst of times, right? China-Japan relationship would never be totally positive because of historical reasons.
Yeah.
On the other hand, again, they could not afford to sort of fall out with each other.
Yeah.
So you will always see this kind of deferring climate, shall we say, when it comes to their bilateral relations. Now, perhaps it's slightly on the low tide, but, you know, when they want to do more business with one another, you could see them doing so as well.
Yeah.
So,
You can't help but read into it, especially when Japan talks about boosting its military spending. I mean, we haven't seen these levels since World War II, so one can't help but speculate.
Indeed, I think the Japan side, they felt some sort of a strategic or military threat from China.
Yeah.
And of course, if Japan increased the posture, China would increase as well. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, politics, I suppose. I've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, I appreciate it. As always, you take care and have a great day ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.